Was it snowy here a couple weeks ago? Yeah. Well, I have this conch shell because a couple weeks ago it was snowy here. And do you know where I was? I was on a catamaran in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah. You all feel pretty bad for me, don't you? I'm just kind of rubbing your noses in it. I got to go down. I love snorkeling. My wife and I, it's one of our favorite things. And I got to go down to the bottom of the ocean, and I picked up a conch shell. Unfortunately, they won't let you just bring them back with you. You have to go down to one of the local vendors and buy these conch shells. So this is one we paid for. It's not the actual one I got. But we're coming back on the boat that evening with like 40 or 50 of our closest friends from the cruise and the crew of five or six guys. And it was beautiful. It was 80 degrees. There was no humidity. I mean, we were off the coast of Cozumel, and it was gorgeous. The water was just that perfect blue, and the sun was going down, and the reflection was coming off the water. And man, if I had hair, the wind would have been blowing softly through my hair. You know, as it was, you could. I didn't have it, so it just, you know, gracefully over my scalp. But it was perfect. Perfect. And if I could bottle a day to bring out, like on a snowy, cold, wet Iowa winter day, it might be that day. If I could choose a day that was like the epitome of what it feels like to be blessed. We're going to be talking about blessing this morning. But it's the epitome of feeling what it was to feel like to be blessed. I might have chosen that day. Do you know what the interesting thing to me was? So we were on this boat, and I alluded to it earlier, but there was also like 5, 6, 7 of these local guys, and they were on this boat. And guess what? This was no big deal to them. This was this is their job. They take cruise people out on a boat, take them snorkeling, and then they go to a beach at Cozumel. This is literally their day job, right? So they're on this boat. I'm thinking, this is one of the best days I've ever had in my life. And they're thinking, man, when do I get off to get home to go to work? And isn't it interesting that what I would call maybe one of the most pleasant, blessed days of my life, for these guys was just normal and regular. And if I had to be honest, I think that if I got to do that every day, you know, week in and week out, month in and month out, guess what? It would start to lose some of the specialness for me. It wouldn't be as good after a while. And I think that's interesting because if that is what I consider blessing, just all this pleasant stuff going on in my life, isn't it interesting that if I experienced that every day for a while, it would start to feel like, not as good. Makes me think that my concept, my idea of what blessing is may be lacking. You know what else is interesting? Oftentimes we consider what blessing to have a lot to do with our outward circumstances. Are my outward circumstances pleasant? Is life going well? Is the weather nice? Am I feeling good? Is work good? Are my social circles good? Are all those things good? And we'd say, if that's going on, you know, we even have a hashtag for this. We'd say, hashtag blessed. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I think our idea of blessing is sadly lacking. And here's the other thing. As followers of Jesus, sometimes, to be perfectly honest, like following Jesus seems like an impediment to experiencing that. It can feel like an impediment. There's days when following Jesus is more like this. You see Psalm 73. On the screen. And this is what Psalm 73 says. This is a writer, and he's describing this. He's a righteous guy. He wants to follow God. And this is what he says. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why? For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." If there's a word we associate with blessing, isn't it prosperity? Verse 4, "For they have no pangs until death. They have no worries. Their bodies are fat and sleek." You know, we wouldn't think that's a good thing, but at this time, that just meant they had plenty of food. Verse 5, "They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies." I'm going to skip down to verse 12 and listen to what verse 12 says, because isn't this how we would define blessing? Behold, these are the wicked, not that part, but this part. Always at ease, they increase in riches. I submit to you, that is maybe a perfect American definition of blessing. Always at ease, they increase in riches. And sometimes in my life, following Jesus doesn't feel like it increases my ease or adds to my riches. In fact, it can do quite the opposite. You know, maybe you're here and you're a student. And when I was in high school or when I was a student, following Jesus was not something that was going to make me more popular with my peers. It was something that would get me called names. It would get me excluded from certain gatherings and get-togethers. I couldn't travel in certain social circles if I was following hard after Jesus. Or maybe at work. You know, maybe to you, like following Jesus at work seems like you're never going to get ahead. You're refusing to cut corners. You're refusing to be dishonest. You're refusing to stab people in the back just so you can climb the ladder. See, following Jesus can feel like an impediment to blessing, to experiencing all, you know, ease and increasing riches, like he's talking about in this passage. And so that brings us to our passage this morning, because we're starting a new series out of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. And it's interesting where Jesus starts in Matthew chapter 5. It's a very famous text of Scripture. If you've been in church, you may have memorized this text of Scripture. It's called the Beatitudes. It has its own name. Any passage of Scripture that has a special name, you know it's kind of famous. This one's called the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 1 to 12. We're going to start. But Jesus starts in an interesting place. He's talking to his disciples. He's at the beginning of his ministry. He's been baptized, and he's been tempted, and he's starting out in his ministry, and he begins what is his longest recorded sermon for us, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, with a discussion of blessing. And he begins with a discussion of what does it actually mean to be blessed? And he offers us something that is much deeper than what we would normally define as blessing in our American context. It's more than ease. It's more than wealth. It's more than prosperity. It's more than just having good, nice circumstances. It's something more. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're gonna look at it together. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. It is on the screen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible. Our name is New Covenant Bible Church, and we believe you cannot grow in Christ apart from this book and knowing this book. So if you're new here, we buy Bibles just to give them away for people to read them and be in the Scriptures. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Jesus is going to look at this idea of blessing, and what is true blessing? Where does it come from? What does it mean? Is right where he starts. If you're going to follow Jesus, what is in it for you? That's not exactly what he's saying, but he's offering this to his disciples. Verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and here's his definition of blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons, and I would say daughters, children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the only command in the whole text, the only imperative in the whole chapter, he says, rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, Jesus is talking about blessing, and there's a lot that's in here. I went long in the first service. I'm trying not to go long in this service because there is a ton in this text. There is a ton, and if I was going to sum it up, I would sum it up like this. True blessings are found in upside-down ways. True blessings are found in upside-down ways. You see, oftentimes, we define blessing in light of our circumstances, and our circumstances change. But Jesus is giving us something deeper, something more substantial to hold on to for blessing. True blessings are found in upside-down ways. Blessings are things that simply, they bring well-being to our lives. And all those nice things, those are good. They do bring well-being. But if we get so enamored with pleasant circumstances, they become an idol in our life. And they actually don't bring blessing because true blessings bring ultimate well-being. And in the Bible, the scriptures, we know that blessing is always connected to a relationship with God. Blessing never comes disconnected from a relationship with God. Those things are together. So you can have, the psalmist described in Psalm 73, you can have all the pleasant circumstances in the life. You can have all the ease, all the prosperity, all the money, all the riches. You can have that in your life and still not experience true blessing. And Jesus is showing us in this passage that true blessings come in upside-down ways. So we're going to walk through some of these together. But before we start walking through them, I just want to point this out. This is written to his disciples. This is written to people who follow Jesus. This is written to us for today. And there's people and theologians, and they bat this around. Is the Sermon on the Mount for us today? But look what he says in verse 1. He says, when he sat down, verse 2, his disciples came to him, and he taught them. He's teaching this to his disciples. And then in verses 11 and 12, he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of evil against you falsely on my account. And he says, rejoice, and it's in the second person. See, he's talking to his disciples. The requirements of the Sermon on the Mount are so high that there's a temptation to say, this isn't for us today. This is for another time and another place. But I don't think we get off the hook. I don't think he lets us off the hook that easily. So we're gonna walk through this. The Sermon on the Mount and what he's saying here is true blessings are found in upside-down ways, and there's an upside-down inside, and there's an upside-down outside. There's an upside-down inward reality, and there's an upside-down external orientation, okay? So he says first, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are simply those people who understand their own spiritual poverty and admit it. See, we live in a world where our tendency is to not admit our own spiritual poverty. We think, I think I'm a generally good guy. I think I'm a nice person. I've never done anything really, really bad. And so we have a hard time as Americans admitting our own spiritual poverty, that we, at our core, on our own, are selfish and depraved. We want what we want when we want it, and we don't really care who we hurt to get it. That's what is at our heart. And that's spiritual poverty, but spiritual poverty is more than that reality. It's knowing it about yourself. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to come back to theirs is the kingdom of heaven in a minute. He says, blessed, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger and thirst so often for just physical niceness and pleasantness, like literal hunger and thirst, but also like, hey, that vacation or that promotion or that friendship or whatever it is. We hunger and thirst after our circumstances being good. And Jesus is saying, no, guys, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then he says, for they shall be satisfied. We may not be satisfied with our hunger and thirst for physical food. We may not be satisfied with our hunger and thirst for like affirmation, affection, position, all those things that we desire out of our circumstances. Those may not be satisfied. But he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. This is the upside down inward reality, the pure in heart. These are people who have a wholehearted devotion to God. And can I be honest? Like, this is not me most days on my own. I don't have a wholehearted devotion to God. You want to know what I did this morning? My alarm went off at 6. And I'm a bandwagon Golden State Warriors fan. If you know anything, they played last night. They started their series. And guess what I was doing? I have a lower back issue, so a lot of mornings I get up and I stretch. And I'm stretching, I'm on the floor. And instead of doing something spiritual like listening to worship music or, you know, a Bible on tape, guess what I was doing? I brought up the Warriors, Pelicans, highlights from last night. It's about 10-minute video on YouTube. And for the 10 minutes I was stretching, I was watching the highlights from last night. That's what I did at 6 to 6:10 this morning. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's an illustration. Like, my heart so often is not wholeheartedly devoted to God. I've got a divided heart. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have a wholehearted devotion for God. Why? Because they're going to get to see him one day. They're going to get to see him one day. See, true blessings come in upside down ways. And that's on the inside of us. Like, that we admit we are broken. We're poor in spirit. That we understand that there's righteousness out there and we hunger and thirst after it. And that we have a wholehearted devotion to God rather than just ourselves. And he's saying those things are where true blessing is to be found. So that's on the inside. What about the outside? He said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. And you think, really, Jesus? Because in the American mentality and in our calculation, mourning, we put it as far away from us as possible. We protect ourselves, we insulate ourselves, we run away from it, we flee from mourning. And here is Jesus, and he says, blessed are those who mourn. But there's a question in this, and the question is what Jesus is saying that everyone who mourns will be comforted? And I don't think that's what he's getting at. Because there's certainly people who have mourned and have mournful situations and have never been comforted. And there's certainly people who have had terrible things happen in their life and they don't know Jesus and they perish apart from Jesus and they're not going to be comforted in the next life. So he can't mean, I don't think, that everyone who mourns will automatically be comforted and be consoled. I think what he's saying is, blessed are those who mourn after the things that God's heart mourns for. Blessed are those who mourn after the brokenness of the world, over the sin of the world. Because oftentimes when I mourn over my circumstances. I mourn over, like, this isn't going well, or I don't like that. But I don't mourn enough over, like, just the devastation of the world. You could pick your topic. Human trafficking. Racial injustice. You could pick your thing. But I'm not a guy who spends my time enough mourning over those things. I mourn over the things that just personally affect me, that personally, like, detract from my circumstances. But he says, blessed are those who mourn. I think it's over the things that break God's heart, things that mourn his heart, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. See, if you don't know what meek means, meek means a person, a strong individual who bridles their own strength, who controls their own strength. It doesn't mean this, like, little wimpy, no strength kind of individual. It means, like, someone who's strong. Someone who's strong, but they realize they're strong, and so they don't just unleash their strength wherever to get what they want. They use their strength for the benefit of others. They bridle their strength. Their strength is for the benefit of something higher and bigger than themselves. But in the world, you know what our tendency is? Use your strength for you. Use your intellect for you. Use your talents for you. Get the most you can. Maximize your pleasure. Use it for you. The meek person, though they are strong, understands that their strength is not just about them. that there's a higher calling. And it's counterintuitive that the meek, the person who controls their strength, that doesn't grasp after life, he says, they shall inherit the earth. We think the aggressive person, the assertive person, the one who really goes after it, that takes no prisoners, that's the kind of person who's going to inherit the earth. Because they're not going to inherit it, they're just going to take it. But he says, the meek person shall inherit the earth. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Merciful is simply just a person who extends kindness when they could give judgment or condemnation. They extend kindness when they could give judgment or condemnation to a person who's deserved. And how, it's upside down, it's counterintuitive. How are we blessed if we don't take revenge, if we don't get what or we don't give what people have coming to them? How are we blessed? But he says, you are blessed if you extend mercy, because you will receive mercy. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, children of God, daughters of God. And our tendency is to want to jump on a side, and our tendency is to want our side to win. And that's the normal way of the world. And yet Jesus is saying, those who are truly blessed are people who bring sides together, who bring reconciliation, who value relationships over winning and being right. And lastly, verse 10, this one makes absolutely no sense. Because we look at people who are persecuted and we think, oh man, they got a raw deal. I'm sure glad I'm not them. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, all these things are upside down from what we would normally think in our American context. Each and every one of them, we could walk through and give the counterexample how in America, the opposite we believe to be true. But Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying to us, I think, this is where true blessing is to be found. True blessing, blessing that lasts, that has an overall impact on your overall well-being for eternity, is found in upside-down ways. In upside-down ways. This is what I want us to do today. Find true blessing by following Jesus. See, Jesus is writing to his disciples. They're gathered right here, right in front of him. And this is the first thing he says to them. And I don't think what he's saying to them is that you guys need to, you need to become people who mourn over the brokenness of the world. You need to work really hard to be poor in spirit. You need to have some contrived mercy in you. You need to make yourselves this if you want to be my follower. I think what he's saying is, hey guys, you come follow me, you become what I'm about, you watch me in action. If you're transformed by following me, by being connected to me, this is gonna be what begins to be true of you. These eight things are gonna begin to be true of you, and you're gonna find true blessing as you follow me. Because true blessings are found in upside down ways. It's not that following Jesus is actually an impediment to experiencing blessing. It is the upside down way of actually finding true blessing. So find true blessing by following Jesus. And you know what the interesting thing is? And I love this. Because in each one of these Beatitudes, I think we see a couple things. Number one, we see that Jesus is the ultimate example of each one of these. You want to know what this looks like? Read the Gospels and look at Jesus' life. And I'm going to walk through a few of them, how I think that's true. And secondly, Jesus is the one who makes them true. Because without Jesus in the picture, none of this makes sense. If we live in a world that is just like naturalistic, there's no God in heaven, and that God didn't send his only son to live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins and rise again from the dead, and if he's not coming back again one day to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then none of this makes sense. This only makes sense in a world in which Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he paid for the sins of the world on the cross and rose again from the dead. It only makes this upside down way of finding blessing only makes sense in that context. So let's look at a few of these. I just picked out, well, I have seven of them. We don't have time for all seven, but let's look at being poor in spirit. Verse three, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was the ultimate example of being poor in spirit. Actually, if being poor in spirit is just recognizing our own spiritual poverty, you know what? Jesus took this and he took it and he anteed it up. Because Jesus had no spiritual poverty like I have. Jesus had no sin. He was perfect. But do you know what he did? He took my spiritual poverty on himself. He took my sin on himself. And you know what the result of that is? Because he took my sin on himself, verse 4, he's able to give me the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who understand their own spiritual poverty, because someday, it's an already, not yet kind of thing. Jesus is giving us the kingdom of heaven inside of us, and one day he's going to bring the kingdom of heaven actually to earth. And we're going to get the kingdom of heaven if we're poor in spirit. We understand we are spiritually broken, and he is our only answer and our only solution. See, he is the ultimate example of each one of these, and he's the reason for which they are true. Let's take another one. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I said mourn, not just mourn over our own circumstances, but mourn over the brokenness of the world. You see Jesus throughout his ministry, and he is mourning over the things that are going wrong with the world. He mourns over Lazarus' death. Why does he mourn over Lazarus' death? He's about to resurrect the guy. I think he mourns because death is a reality, and it's never what he intended as the creator. He doesn't like death. A day is coming when he's going to do away with death, and seeing death up close and personal made him mourn. And he comes to Jerusalem the week before he's going to be crucified. He comes to Jerusalem, and he mourns over the city. He mourns over the hardness of heart that he knows is latent in that city, that they're going to reject him. They're going to turn their back on him when all he's offering them is salvation. He mourns over that. He's the one who is the ultimate mourner over the brokenness of sin in our world. And it says, for they shall be comforted. And because he took the sin of the whole world on his own shoulders, because he rose again on Sunday morning, and because he's going to come back someday, those things that we mourn over, if we mourn over brokenness, we mourn over human trafficking or whatever the issue is that's in our mind, racial injustice, gender inequality, whatever it is that our heart mourns over, we know he is coming back one day as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to right every wrong, and his kingdom is going to be a perfect kingdom because he's the perfect king. And there's comfort to be had in that for us. Let's take just one more. Let's take the last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, you know, sometimes I maybe we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, maybe. You know, maybe we did the right thing. We stood up for what was true. But can I tell you, oftentimes I get negative reactions in my life, not because I stood up for the right thing, but because I went about it in the wrong way. I did it in a way that was maybe unkind, not thoughtful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I may experience like negative consequences in my life for doing the right thing, for pursuing righteousness. Jesus never pursued, I don't believe he ever pursued what was right in a wrong way, or in an unwise way, or in a misguided way. And yet, he was persecuted unto death. A whole group of people hated him, and they just wanted his blood. So he's the ultimate righteous persecuted one. And because he was the ultimate righteous persecuted one, I get to inherit the kingdom of heaven, which is what he says in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus is he's the ultimate example of each one of these traits, and he is the one that makes them true. Without him, none of them make sense, none of them are true. But with him, all of them make sense, and they are true, and he is going to make them all true in our lives today as he walks with us, and one day he's gonna just make it all true. We experience blessing now, and we have hope for what he's gonna do in the future. So what does this mean for us? I just have a few thoughts for you to do this week. As you're trying to find true blessing by following Jesus, maybe this is what it could look like for you this week. Like, read over this week and pick one of them. I'm gonna pick poor in spirit here for a second. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What if I became a guy this week and I said, you know what, Jesus, will you open my eyes? Will you open my eyes to where I am poor in spirit? Will you open my eyes to what is wrong in my heart, in my attitudes, in my thoughts, and in my words? Will you do that in me? What if I prayed that beatitude for myself this week? I think that's the kind of prayer that he would love to answer. Because he wants me to be poor in spirit. He wants me to understand my need so that I run to him. Secondly, we could do a beatitude this week for someone who's in our community of believers. So if you're in a small group or you have someone you trust or your accountability relationship or a serving team, wherever you are, what if this week you start praying a beatitude for yourself and God opens your eyes to something and you go and share that with someone? Or you put that to work in that relationships that you have. With poor in spirit, it could be like, you know, God has really revealed this about me. You know, one of the things God's revealing to me, probably everybody around me knows this. This is the thing, like, I have blind spots. I think, I hate admitting this, I think it's okay to say unkind things when I'm tired and when I'm frustrated. Not that I think it's okay, but that's how I act. I act like it's okay. When I'm tired and frustrated, yeah, whatever comes out of your mouth, it's justified. He's just tired. He had a long day. What if I got with some people in my life and I said, look, this is my tendency. This is one of the areas where I'm poor in spirit, where I need help and I need prayer. You know what that would do for me? It would start to break that cycle. It would make me much more aware of what I need to do. You know what it would do for the person sitting across from me? It would begin to free them, because we have this tendency to think that we're the only messed up ones. We're the only broken one. But if I offer that out to somebody else, it's gonna free them up. They're gonna be like, oh, yeah, I'm messed up too. And they may or may not reciprocate. But you're gonna do something for yourself, you're gonna do something for them. Lastly, what if we did this? There is a knock on Christians in our world. You know what the knock on us is? We're judgmental. And we think we have it all together. What if, now this would be kind of crazy. What if we took the poor in spirit. I'm just taking poor in spirit. What if I took poor in spirit? God is revealing this thing to me, and I went to my neighbor with it. Now, he's probably not going to be quite as gracious as one of you would be, right? We know we're supposed to be kind to each other. He's going to shoot me a lot straighter, and I say, hey, you know, this is what God is revealing to me, or this is what I'm thinking about myself right now. Like, I have a problem when I get tired. I have a tendency to unleash words that are unkind at other people. You know what he's going to say? He's like, duh. Anyone with eyes could have seen that, Seth. I'm like, thanks a lot. I feel really good. But you know what? He's not going to have as much opportunity then to say, you know what, Seth's just this judgmental jerk. He thinks he's got it all together, and he thinks he's better than me because he's a Christian and he goes to church. So you could bring a beatitude alive to someone who doesn't follow Jesus this week. I was just taking the first one. So each one of us, we wrestle thinking that blessing is about our present circumstances. We have the thought process that if life is easy, if life is pleasant, if things are working out, that is what blessing is. Jesus comes along in Matthew 5, 1 to 12, and he says, guys, true blessing is found in upside down ways because of the true nature of the world. So my prayer for us this week, my prayer for myself, is that I would be a person who experiences true blessing as I follow Jesus this week. That's my hope for you too. Wherever that takes you, if it's in a school situation, if it's at work, if it's at home, if it's in your neighborhood, that you would follow Jesus and experience true blessing as you do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he is our perfect example. Lord, he is the epitome of following what you want. Lord, that we have someone we can look at as an inspiration to us. I pray that his example would warm our hearts. Lord, that as we gaze on him and his face and what he's done for us, what he's accomplished for us, what he's promised he's gonna do in the future, I pray that, Lord, that we would understand that like true blessing is found through following him. True blessing is found not in pursuing it as our world would have us pursue it, but it's found by following the one who was poor in spirit, or the one who was persecuted for righteousness. I pray that you would convince us of that, convince our hearts of that this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.